Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here another week. And I always say that literally for those of you who know me.
Wait a minute.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here another week. And it's literally today, you know, life is so precious, and we never want to take it for granted ever, ever, ever. It's so beautiful. And today is 9/11, so we're having a tribute to 9/11, and it's hard to believe it's been 18 years already. The September 11th attacks transformed so many people's lives, especially here in the United States. I'm thrilled today that Mary Blake, who's lived in New York since 1964 and Manhattan since 1980, is going to co-host the show with me today. And I'm really looking forward to it. It's hard for me to believe it's been 18 years. Today marks 18 years since the World Trade Center in New York City was struck by two planes that were taken over by terrorists, killing thousands of people, almost 977 people, injuring over 6,000 other people, not to mention the countless lives and that were affected all around the world due to this. A third plane was flown into the Pentagon, while a fourth one crashed near Shanksville, Pennsylvania, after passengers fought the terrorists. It remains one of the worst terrorist attacks in history and the most deadly foreign attack on American soil since Pearl Harbor bombings, which killed over 2,400 Americans. As we remember the victims of that tragic day, here is everything we're gonna go through. And if you want to call in, then the call-in number is 347-945-5428, and let us know how it affected you individually as well. Many things have changed, and we want to make the show today more of a, you know, about a life show, because life continues on. We all have to learn to, it takes time and grief, and it's horrible, but we always want to learn to move forward with life, because life is a blessing. And Mary has written a book called, just recently she's written a few books, Bye Bye Bad Karma, and there's so many lessons in life, and we keep on moving on, even though it's hard. As we remember this tragic day, we want to never forget this tragic day, and go from there, and just give thanks, give honor, tribute, and because life will never be the same. Without further ado, right now, I want to introduce Mary. Thank you, Mary, for coming on today.
Hello. Yes, and I'm very happy to be able to speak about 9/11, because maybe as a spiritual healer, I have a little bit different take on it. First of all, my number one spirit guide, Stardust, has a saying: some things take a very peculiar way of going right. They start out as a disaster. And I choose to look at the good that came from 9/11 And that can be described in the way we think of ourselves as Americans. We used to be sort of impervious and above it all, and oh yeah, the terrible things happened in other towns, other countries, other places in the world, but nothing had ever bothered us in America. That we were safe here, we had the two oceans protecting us, and nobody had ever done anything to us on our soil, except
right.
for in 1912 when Britain tried to take us back. But from that time on, we were in a class by ourselves. Bad things happened to other people. And
that's a good point.
You know, I saw a cartoon, oh, about a week after 9/11, and they said, the cartoon said, they thought that they could get to us and change our thinking, and they did. They thought they could change us, and they did. And they showed, a nice town, everything was fine. And the next slide, every single building had an American flag sticking out. So they thought they were going to tear us apart, and what they really did was they brought us together.
That makes a really good point. Made us stronger, didn't it? Just made us
stronger.
It
certainly did. It
certainly
did.
Showed their resilience.
And it gave us much more compassion for the other parts of the world when they had problems, you see, because it had happened to us, and so we began to understand. It wasn't that they did something wrong, so that's why they were being punished, and we did something right, so we weren't. So the whole thing worked out for the best, and somehow I believe that the people who went down in with the towers, I believe that they were volunteers without knowing it, that their volunteering helped make this a better world.
It certainly had a drastic effect. Mary, tell us, where were you? You've been living in Manhattan since 80. Where were you?
Mm-hmm.
What? Tell us your recollection of what happened when you were first heard about this.
Well, my recollection begins 12 hours earlier, because I saw this happening before it happened, and I just didn't know what was going on, but I heard this crash, and I rushed to the window, and I said, oh, what is happening? Is this a fire? Look at all that smoke. And there was a girl who was staying with me, and she was looking over my shoulder, and she said, what smoke, Mary? What are you talking about? And I said, don't you see it? Look at that building with all those black smoke pouring out. I said, that plane, there's a plane coming right at the building, and the plane is flying too low. And I saw the color of the plane. It was, and the plane flew right, I thought it had gone behind the plane, behind the building. I said, but it didn't come out the other side. And she said, Mary, I don't know what you're talking. I'm looking at it, and I don't see anything. And I said, this is not a fire. This is a disaster. And I'm shaking all over and wondering, you know, because a lot of times when you have some kind of an experience like this, you wonder if you're going crazy or something. And wondering what happened. And really, I just had to let it go, because here was this perfectly sane girl standing next to me saying nothing had happened, and so I just stopped arguing. I didn't want to argue with her. But she was looking at it too, but she didn't see it. So the next morning, at about 10 of 9, the phone rang, and my friend Eileen was on the phone, and she said, "Mary, turn on Channel 4. A plane just flew into the World Trade Center." And I rushed and turned the TV on, and believe it or not, there was that exact scene that I had seen the night before. And talk about getting the chills and not knowing, you know. And I have still, to this day, I have no idea why I was shown that.
Right.
Because I couldn't do anything about it. And yet there it was. And, but it is, I don't know, I suppose I was supposed to know. Otherwise, they wouldn't have shown that to me. But it was certainly strange. And so then afterwards, Tyler and I walked up to Eileen's house, and she would just live 6 blocks away. And Tyler was hungry.
You could see everything.
She said, we're on 80th Street. We couldn't see anything.
Okay. Okay.
But as we walked, there were people that were trudging like zombies, 1 foot in front of the other, just walking up Broadway. And there were people standing in the door of their stores, just staring into nothing. And there was no traffic on the street, except people walking. And it was so strange. And then when we came out of Eileen's apartment, there was a fellow that was standing, and he was sagging against the wall. And I said, "Are you okay?" And he said, "I got fired last Tuesday. I worked on the 104th floor."
Oh, no. What a blessing. Oh, my God.
I bet you
had some of that guilt thing, you know, when you're like, you feel all your people and friends and people you know and feel guilty because you can't, you know, but survivor's guilt. But thank God.
But what I was thinking was, some things have a peculiar way of going wrong. When he got fired, it seemed like a terrible thing. And when he wasn't there when the planes hit and the buildings went down, it turned out that that terrible thing was a good thing.
Absolutely.
So the way you look at something is as every bit as important as the event. What happens, whatever happens, it's the way you perceive it and how it changes your life that's important. My spirit guides say nothing that ever happened to anybody, anywhere, anytime is important. The only thing that is important is how that happening affects the consciousness.
Yeah, you know, God says everything works out for those who believe for the good. But I think this terrorism, this, you know, it shows us, like, now there's so much that's going on, and you were right, we were taking it for granted that we're safe. And I still feel like we're safer than in many places because there's so much protection going on that we aren't aware of, right, on this war on terror that the government isn't going to tell us what's going on. And
absolutely.
So, you know, President George Bush was the president at the time, and it says that this transformed his presidency and led to what has been called the global war on terrorism, and the accuracy of describing it as a war and its political motivations and consequences are the topic of strenuous debate because, you know, then all of a sudden the Patriot Act came in, and we have the TSA, and you know, I fly constantly. I just landed this morning, you know, flying, and everything. Years ago, we could just go up and our friends could meet with us, or we could meet other people and eat at the restaurant all the way up to the gate, right?
Absolutely.
And now you can't go past that, right? And we have these long lines and TSA.
They could go to the gate and wave to you as you climb the steps.
Yeah, and the Patriot Act came in, and our privacy has changed. So, you know, everybody's debating, like, how much of this is too far out and how much of it is to protect us and how much is it controlled.
Right.
So these changes came, I mean, 9/11 brought these on. It says the U.S. government increased military operations, economic measures, and political measures on groups which it accused of being terrorists, as well as increasing pressure on the governments and countries which were accused of sheltering them. And the first was October 2011, one month later, saw the first military action initiated by the U.S. under the policy NATO invaded Afghanistan in order to remove the Taliban regime, which harbored al-Qaeda. And they were, you know, so they were really on a big, you know, so much changed.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
It's just amazing how much has changed. And, you know, I think, and people, like you were saying, we need to change. We need to grow. We need to have more empathy, really, right? So many people. So I was thinking back. I, on 9/11, was right in Kailua on Oahu in Hawaii. And Hawaii is 6 hours behind the East Coast. So I was sleeping when this happened. And I had gotten up that morning and was working on an ad for DuPont Registry. And DuPont Registry is based in Florida at the time. And I called my ad in. And so it was like 9 o'clock Hawaii time, which meant it was already 3 o'clock East Coast time. And everything had already happened in the early morning, right, around 9 o'clock, East Coast time. So I'm calling my ad in like nothing happened. And the gentleman I spoke with was like, Natalie, have you looked at the news? Have you even turned on the news? I said, no, what's going on? And that's how I found out what happened. And immediately, you know, all the flights were shut down across the country. And in Hawaii, it was shut down a little bit longer. And when you're on islands, you can't just go get in the car and go. You're stuck.
Right.
And
absolutely.
I remember Waikiki looked like a ghost town. It was like, and for about 6 months, it was really had a shortage of tourists. It was really eerie. And I remember I had just gone back to Hawaii December of 99 and was starting up the real estate business there, you know, which I had for years in Maryland, and I'm sitting there, it's eerie because, like, everything shut down, and it was like, what do we do? Because we were just getting started, you know, pushing business.
It's
like, you get on and you get resilient, and I felt a little guilty because I wanted to go help people I knew involved on the East Coast, and you couldn't go anywhere. You know, you feel like, I can't help. Because one thing I noticed, you would really notice being right in Manhattan, is that everybody came out to help, everybody. It wasn't like everybody came out and just got strong and pushed. And, yeah, it was really, really definitely.
It was amazing how I don't think this country was so together in our thinking and feeling for each other since World War II.
Really?
Of course, I was.
Change, huh?
I was here, and everybody was. We were all Americans. We were all working. We were doing everything we could. Kindergarten kids were out picking up scrap metal to use, turn into bombs and all kinds of things, you know. And the whole country was focused on one thing. And it hadn't been that way since World War II, and then it was that way again after you know, after the World Trade Center went down. So
yeah,
everybody was again all together. We were one country. We were one people. We were all for one and one for all.
Unbelievable lessons. I know in Hawaii, at least nine people passed away and that were from Hawaii. I remember a woman right in Kailua, Christine
mm-hmm.
Snyder, passed away on Flight 93.
Mm-hmm.
My cousin worked at the Washington Hospital in Washington and was actually a nurse there,
mm-hmm.
assisting injured people coming in. It was a huge shock, just a huge, huge
mm-hmm.
shock, right? Just something, got you from,
Did you leave the message that if any of the listeners want to speak, they should dial 1?
No, I would just, it's 347-945-5428, and when you get into the queue, you can dial 1
right.
That will know you want to ask a question and not just listen.
Right.
That's a good point.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
So everything is quite amazing that that it's all working out so well, and what we do is take the good that comes and run with the good. If you think of the good instead of what is working, what good came of it? There's a saying, you know, that there's a little bit of good that comes from anything. And there's nothing that is so bad that something good can't come of it.
Life is such a blessing. You know, it's funny, Mary. When we were younger, we just take it for granted, and then when you're older, you hear people always say,
"Sure.
Oh, I woke up. It's another beautiful day." You know, it's And we keep hearing stories with the 9/11 about different people that were supposed to take this flight in 93 or the other flight.
Absolutely.
And something got canceled, or it was one person's day off and the brother decided not to come back, and he would have been killed if had he come back.
Mm-mm.
It's
mm-hmm.
I have a few quotes from some of the 9/11 relatives that, you know, are dealing with the tragedy. One was, if we learn nothing else from this tragedy, we learn that life is short and there is no time for hate. Sarah Dahl, wife of Flight 93 pilot Jason Dahl, that died in
mm-hmm.
Shanksville,
mm-hmm.
Pennsylvania. And
mm-hmm.
My older brother John lived his life in Technicolor. When he walked in the door, the whole house lit up. And I'm sure
mm-hmm.
heaven lit up when he got there, too.
Yeah.
And Julia Casamatis at the Trade Center. It's just 5 years from the date of the attack that changed our world. We're come back to remember the valor of those we lost. And this is after Rudolf Giuliani was at the Trade Center site. You know, it's interesting to me, though, that with everything going down, there was never a question, I believe, from what I've heard, of we're not going to rebuild. We're just going to, you know, they said, no, we're going to rebuild, right?
Of course.
And,
mm-hmm.
That's part of moving forward. It's just, here's one. Catherine Hernandez said, "My father, Noberto, was a pastry chef at Windows on the World in Tower 1. For 10
mm-hmm.
years, he made many fancy and famous desserts, but the sweetest dessert he made was the marble cake he made for us at home. Whenever we parted, Poppy would say, 'Te amo, vea con Dios.' I may not be saying that right. And this morning, I want to say the same thing to you. Poppy, I love you. Go with God." It's just, and Bill,
Vaya con Dios.
Okay. President Bill Clinton said, "With almost no time to decide, your loved ones gave the entire country an incalculable gift. They saved the Capitol from attack. These are the people with the plane, that when they fought the plane from, fought the guys, and the plane went down.
Oh, yeah.
They saved
Absolutely.
God knows how many lives. They saved the terrorists from claiming symbolic victory of smashing the center of American government. They allowed us to survive as a country that could fight terror and still maintain liberty and still welcome people from all over the world, from every religion and race and culture, as long as they shared our values, because ordinary people give no time at all to decide the right thing. That's amazing. We much has gone on. So, you know, when we come there, but can you believe it's been 18 years? It just doesn't seem like that long to me.
I know. Well, it's so prominent in your memory that it feels like yesterday. You know, it's the importance that you give to something that makes it seem so current.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to, I think it's very important to remember that 9/11 was a time when the American values were the most important thing, and they survived. And they were strengthened, and our love for our country and for each other was strengthened by 9/11.
Yeah. We did see some things happening that weren't fair to people as well, you know, where people were stereotyping people that had nothing to do with this, right? So there were a lot of growth came out of that too, yeah.
Sure, yeah.
We did see kind of let that down.
Sometimes things have to go wrong before you can see what's right in the greater perspective.
That's true. There's different foundations were also started to give back to help victims and honor victims of September 11th.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really nice that it didn't just go away. Many times, you know, there's a funeral, one person passes, and they have a funeral. We live it every day. And the family, you know, gets so much support during the week of the funeral, week after, and then everybody kind of disappears, right? And it's really nice that with 9/11, so much support has continued, and people vowing to not let it be forgotten and to help people, not that it's going to bring anybody back, right? But it's definitely shows that we, compassion that we have. And, you know, how much of this, though, sometimes that you see, and there's a lot of debates about it with 9/11, how much kind of, like with the Patriot Act and the other, you know, TSA and, you know, how much of that is so needed and how much of it is more political for control? You know, there's all kinds of debates, and we don't want to get started in that type of thing, that type of thinking. But,
no, what you have to say, There's advantages and disadvantages to everything.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a plane of imperfection. And there is no such thing as a perfect outcome. There's the best that can come out of the situation as it is.
Yeah. And it's up to
us. To either, like they say, if you're given lemons, make lemonade, or sit there and make faces because it's sour. So one or the other, but it's up to us. We can make anything good or bad. We can take the best that can be found in it, or we can wallow in the worst. And that is only up to us. And this is your attitude. The only thing that you have absolute control of in this world is your attitude.
Whether you're going to stay in bed and quit, or you're going to get up and make it happen, right? and not attach everything to everything. There was a poet, Billy Collins, wrote a poem he called The Names, about the 2,792 who perished on 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the closing lines. I'm not going to read all of it, but names etched on the head of a pin, one name spanning a bridge, another undergoing a tunnel, a blue name needled into the skin, names of citizens, workers, mothers, and fathers, the bright-eyed daughter, the quick son, alphabet of names in a green field, names in the small tracks of birds, names lifted from a hat or balanced on the tip of the tongue, names wheeled into the dim warehouse of memory, so many names, there's barely room on the walls of the heart. Aww.
Yeah.
It's
Yep. Absolutely.
Definitely. We're going to take a real quick break. This is Realty Universal Radio, and you're on with Mary Blake and Natalie Mullinix, and we will be right back. And if you'd like to call in, the call-in number is 347-945-5428, and you can press 1 to chime in with us. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
It's funny how we want to get into the mood, right, and get into how it changes us, right? Songs and things can change our whole mood. Would you agree?
I agree.
It's
kind
of like I remember Oprah Winfrey when 9/11 hit. She put out a lot of gospel singers and people singing, and she said that that was something that always made people feel better, right? And that was something
yes.
that she was doing at the time as a little bit of a tribute, you know.
Absolutely, yeah. That's much better than cursing the demons, you know.
Yes, absolutely.
Because you simply give them power. that's what they wanted. They wanted us to focus on how powerful they were and how much they hurt us. So, in focusing on the good and reaching out to each other and doing making the best of it and helping people, other people to get through it, was the one thing that we could do that would upset them.
Right, right. Not give in. Just say, okay, you did this, but we're not going to let it take us under.
Exactly, exactly.
I'm sure a lot was learned, just like with Pearl Harbor. You know, there were signs, there were also warnings with Pearl Harbor, and they kind of got ignored because it was some of the people were
Absolutely.
Being lackadaisical in the ship.
Yes.
Right?
Yep. And there were people who sent warnings, and they were ignored.
Yep. With Pearl Harbor?
9/11. Of course, Pearl Harbor, too, yes.
Right,
Pearl Harbor,
right.
Big time, but 9/11... there was warning too.
Yep. It's amazing. So what tell us, Mary, how afterwards life was changed, or do you think everything seems back to the normal again in Manhattan, or what? People are so resilient there.
There are many things are just back to business as usual, but there are some things that will never change. I mean, every time we go into a building and have to go through the security, which we never did before, we're reminded of Pearl Harbor, of the
9/11.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to think this is a weird question, but I've always questioned, why are we not, like, with the planes, I mean, we go through it, we take our shoes off. It's kind of, you know, they say if somebody's over 75, they don't have to take their shoes off. You know, some things are lax, some things aren't, which doesn't totally make sense to me. I don't know why. I mean, you're 90 and you could take on anybody. You know what I mean? You're as healthy as could be. Huh?
I think they think that after you're 75, you're too old to be a terrorist.
I mean, it's just kind of like silly to me, right? Like, why wouldn't anything be
Yes, and some people at that age have a very hard time of getting their shoes on and off. So.
Oh my goodness! No, it's
yeah. It's very strange, but sometimes people will do something rather inane, but they have to do something. Sort of like, like when my husband died, people realized what a terrible loss it was, and they would go, I don't know what to say, and then they would look at me, and they would say, "Are you eating?" which was kind of an inane question, but it was the only thing they could think of to say. And so,
people constantly.
They reach out and they try to say something comforting. They try to do something that somehow will make it better. Sometimes even when nothing will make it better, but a silly gesture is as loving and as caring as a vitally important gesture. It's just how it is. People
exactly.
try. They do the only thing they can think of. And no matter how silly it is or useless it is, they've done something. And people always want to make things better. They want to make you feel better when you're miserable. They want to make things go right when they see it's wrong. They try. And if we could possibly just honor the instinct and the gesture instead of picking apart the insignificance of it, but it isn't insignificant. It's they tried. That's the important
thing. Right.
They
Sometimes just a hug or silent or just listening, you know, is fine.
Absolutely.
You know, sometimes we get,
absolutely,
you know, where people are so afraid of what to say, what to do. But, you know, just show, you know, I care, and that means something. What I was saying about the shoes and the over 75 and, you know, TSA does a great job. Don't get me wrong. I mean, they do a great job. But with all this going on and the metal detectors and everything, I go through and they always pat me down. I don't know what it is because I don't have. But I'm just like, okay, why is this always like?
It's
I don't know. Maybe it's
just your blonde self is just so patable.
It must be extra weight or something. You know.
Who knows?
So yeah, that's but you know this. Oh, I hate to say it, but why are we not, like, on the subways, right, and the rails? Why do we not have to go through metal detectors on them? I don't understand that. And you use them all the time, the metro or...
Yeah. Because where there are thousands using the airplanes and unlimited periods of time, there are millions of people that use the subway every minute. Every minute,
right,
of every day. You know? And it doesn't make any sense. It wouldn't make any sense. Nobody could get to work.
There are
some things that are just beyond logic. You just can't. There's some things that you just can't do.
Right.
You
right.
know.
That makes
so,
sense. Yeah, that makes sense. Makes a lot of sense.
This kind of would be pushing it a little too far. That the struggle to protect people it's better that they have people observing for packages.
I'm sure there's plenty of people looking at everything there. Right.
Yeah, I read somewhere that there have been over 300 bomb attempts so far this year that have been discovered and prevented in New York. Yeah.
Really?
Absolutely.
In the metro subways and all that, or just anywhere?
Trains, planes, all kinds of things. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. And so there is vigilance.
They're very big. Yeah, lots of work doing this. Yeah.
I mean, like a shoe bomb wouldn't do any good on the subway.
Right.
A shoe bomb would throw an airplane off course and cause it to crash.
Mm.
But it wouldn't do anything to it. It wouldn't do very much. It might hurt four or five people, and that would be about it. You know.
Right. Right. That makes sense.
You know, on the subway. So they don't worry about
right.
people taking off their shoes because there's no
right.
no threat of shoe bombs.
Right. That makes sense. Yeah. Well, it's so much. We're coming down to the last 15 minutes of the show, and it's just, you know, it's amazing how many people, like when the towers were going down, all those firefighters, right, that went in
mm-hmm.
with their
mm-hmm.
that lost their lives, went in with that heavy equipment they carry, you know, and didn't just go up one flight. They went up many, many, many flights, right, to get to
absolutely.
Everybody.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
It just, yeah.
You know, that the one fireman who was off, who had gone off duty, was on his way home, was going to play golf with his dad or something, and he went back and ran through the tunnel, and they now have a yearly run through the tunnel, and they raise money. And they do all kinds of good things. They help take care of people who've been sickened by the proximity to 9/11. My daughter called me and said I should go down and help with the cleanup. And I said, no, you do not realize what chemicals are in
right,
the air.
Exactly.
You know,
right.
I wouldn't dare do that. And there were people who were there were working without masks. They didn't
wow.
they didn't protect them. And I had a friend who had an apartment in Battery City, and which is, you know, right next to the Trade Center. And she died of
what?
Breast cancer.
Cancer?
Yeah.
You're kidding. Yeah, I've heard that too, that there's a lot of cancers and things that have come from it that weren't.
There are people who die every day as a result of 9/11. It you see, this is going on. And,
On and on.
The people that bombed, that planned the whole thing, they had no idea that it would be that huge. They thought they would just make a hole in the side of the building and get everybody's attention. They honestly didn't have any idea it would be that horrendous.
Gosh, there's so much, the Homeland Security intelligence reforms, I mean, there's so much that's gone on and on and on.
Absolutely.
And it keeps going on and on and on.
You have to realize that before 9/11, we were too lax. It was too easy for somebody to come in and do something to hurt people. Much too easy.
Right.
Now it's a whole lot harder, and all of the defenses have been put in place, and you have no idea how much damage those defenses have prevented.
I agree. Exactly. We won't even know.
When I say 300 bomb threats, attempts to bomb buildings and people and big events and everything. You have no idea how many lives have been saved because of that.
Exactly. It's amazing what goes on.
It truly is amazing. Yeah.
It really is.
So, again,
you know, and it's about, you know, putting things, and I remember being in my son and I were flying to Hawaii back in the early to mid-90s and on TWA, and the flights, we were circled and put up in the air for a while, and then all the flights were grounded once you got down, and there was no system set up. People were, people were not knowing where to go. They weren't systems in to reroute the planes the way they should be. I'm sure they were there, but it was just really not, it was just unorganized. And I'm sure subsequently it came out better. And I remember in the US Today, they said, oh, the flights were out for like the control towers were out for like 8 minutes, 12 minutes. And I thought to myself, it was a little bit longer than that. But what had happened was somebody, one of the techs just pulled the wrong plug and all of that went out. All of that connection went out, which is pretty scary that somebody could pull the wrong plug and you've got all these planes not knowing what to do. But on the ground, the systems were just pandemonium. It was like, and I'm sitting here being a business owner thinking, wait a minute, why don't you figure out this goes here, you know how you kind of just look at the whole picture. And I'm sure now they have better systems. And that's what 9/11 really did for our country and our, you know, the safety and security, right?
Yeah,
they had to. Amazing. Amazing. So you're right. Good does come out of everything, although it doesn't feel good. And it's not certainly the people that passed on 9/11 in the planes, on the ground, and in the firemen and help and they're like heroes, really, because they didn't.
Absolutely.
You know, they just,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so the tributes to them, 9/11, and we'll never forget. We'll never forget, and our hearts.
And of course, you have no idea what this means on the spiritual level, in the spiritual world. What spiritual growth happened because of that?
Really, collectively,
Well, and singularly too. I mean, each separate soul who went through that, you don't know, you have no idea what this meant in the spirit world, in what we call the afterworld. After we leave here, things go on, you know. And there are lessons and learnings and growth, because, you know, I don't believe in death. I believe in there's birth and there's rebirth. And we're
right.
reborn
right.
into our spirit bodies and into our spirit awareness. And we become, and we then receive all of the wisdom and the spiritual knowledge that we had before we came in, and then we add to it everything that we learned and grew through here in this lifetime.
And I'm very Christian, you know, I believe we do go on. I do believe in heaven. I do believe in all of it going on. And you know, it is about, I definitely do not believe this is it, that our spirit goes on and on and on, right? And it's
yes.
You're right. It's really about how we can do. And there's so many issues nowadays that are going on between mental illness has always gone on, but just so many issues going on. And it can, you know, with what I do, I'm in so many different places at times. You know, sometimes the old days seemed easier because we were taking care of what was happening right where we are, you know. But we're evolving. I mean, now with the computers and we've had the computers for a while, but with robots and the AI, and, I mean, our whole world is just going fast forward with technology. I can think it can be very confusing for a lot of people, right, and kind of out of kilter.
The age it's a revolution, just like the Industrial Revolution. We now have an information age revolution, and it's disruptive and it's confusing to many people. And some people just take to it and fly away, and other people are standing and say, I liked it the way it was. I don't want it to be like that. And I want it like back like it was. And it
right.
never will be, because you can't unlearn something. You can't unexperience. And soul growth is permanent. That is the one thing that is permanent in our life is the soul growth that we experience, and that's what we take with us when we leave this planet.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Sometimes the families, the friends, the relatives, how we get involved. I mean, they show you so much that it's so important to always be involved, not just to wallow, you know, sit and to get involved and serving. And it helps us. It's we're humans. We're made to create and grow. And it's, it's what keeps us ticking, isn't it, Mary?
And the big lesson is living in the now. Tell the people that you
Mary,
love them.
Oh, Mary,
every second,
you are
every day.
So right. How many of us live in the past and the future constantly, right? And we're
right.
skipping the now. You know,
and
wait a minute, slow down.
Out of it. We're only half alive.
You're exactly right.
And we miss all the wonderful opportunities of togetherness and sharing and making beautiful memories and making to look at somebody and say, I love you. You are just, it's so wonderful to be with you. I feel blessed to know you.
And I love you unconditionally. I love you unconditionally, you know. It's not a matter of you do this, and I love you. And if you don't do this and this, I don't like you, you know. It is, it really is. Because sometimes we get older and we're like, what am I doing all this for? Can you help me? And I've gotten to a place where I'm like, if I'm not making a difference, I feel like, what am I doing? And then I have to realize I've got to slow down because I've and just slow down and appreciate and understand that we're all doing what we're supposed to be doing. Right.
You can say, I don't agree with what you said, but I love you anyway.
You're funny. That's a good one. That's a really good one.
Really?
And then we start, absolutely.
It's amazing what that attitude will do to change your experience of life.
Just by doing it with each person?
By doing it with every moment that you're alive. This is not the way I planned it, but I love being here anyway. I love life. I know I'm here for a purpose. I know I have things to give. And here's another person for me to give to. Here's someone... even though I don't agree with their politics, I'm happy to be with them, to be
right,
here
right.
together, you know?
Right. Well, you know how lots of times with friends and all, we say, okay, we agree to not discuss politics and religion. And in me,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
I love God so much.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always talking about God and Jesus, and I just love, I just do. But you know, there's times where we say, okay, we know we can't talk politics because we're on two different sides or,
exactly.
you know, whatever. But we still
yes.
love each other. We still love each other.
Yes.
We agree to disagree and appreciate
mm-hmm.
our own rights, and part of it being American is this freedom we're supposed to have, right? Which we do have quite a lot of freedom.
Absolutely.
And just wake up and say, this is a beautiful day. This is gorgeous. I hear people complaining about the rain and different. I'm like, I love all of it. I love all of it. I don't, you know, because it's, you know, the trees need the rain too, and we need the rain too. It's just a beautiful world. And Al, everybody out there, though, the tribute to 9/11, I think it's something that just like you remember, you know, what was World War II and Pearl Harbor, you know, there's just so many, there's
mm-hmm.
certain times and dates and things that happened that hopefully we'll never forget, right, ever. And
absolutely.
And we learn from them.
Mm-hmm.
And a funny
mm-hmm.
thing, it's like life keeps going on. That's just something that the only thing constant is change, right? But life keeps going, and it keeps going. And I think sometimes we feel like we're immortal, and nobody yet has figured out how to stop death of the body. I do believe our spirit is immortal, you know, keeps going on. But nobody so far has figured
yes.
out how to conquer
but
this death
funny,
thing,
but
right?
But the funniest thing is that immortal spirit is sometimes the least thing that we pay attention to.
Oh, amen. You're right. And as humans, we're given that connection that we're able to communicate and pray and connect and have peace. Because peace is, when you look at everything, I think peace and love, in my opinion, well, of course we need health, right? You don't want people who are sick, and that's the most miserable place to be when they're sick or have infirmities or life-threatening diseases and die, look like cancer. But I think overall, love and peace, right, is what we all...
And what you understand is that the way you think is one of the most important ingredients in health.
Mm. Good point.
If you think fear, your body feels fear. Food, instead of being a joy, instead of being your friend, is the enemy. I have to look at it. I have to examine it. Is it okay for me to eat? When you experience life from love, food is your friend. God gave
right.
us food to nourish us, to keep us alive.
Exactly.
So
yes, and we have to be grateful for it.
So
and
attitude is as important as what you eat. Your attitude toward it can turn it into poison, can turn delicious food into poison. If you
Well, a lot of times, I mean, food can be comfort food and be used in the wrong way, just like drugs,
right.
alcohol, you know, to people
Absolutely.
Use to escape and run away from things or to negate the pain, right? And
yeah.
and we've all been there in certain situations sometimes, not everybody, but many. And
yeah.
You're right. It's amazing how, as humans, we are so... amazing, and we're not giving us all that credit. And every minute counts, every bit counts. It doesn't matter, you know, how much money you make, how much money you don't make, what the educate. You know, people judge so much in our world today.
Mm-hmm.
And
my father was in the hospital on right at death's door. He had worked a whole week with a ruptured appendix, and had gotten peritonitis. Don't forget, this was like 1935, and they didn't know how they didn't have penicillin or any antibiotics, nothing there. And all of a sudden he said, Ruby, to my mother's name is Ruby, Ruby, get me a glass of Coca-Cola. And she looked up at the doctor, and the doctor shrugged. It was like, he's going to die anyway. Let him have whatever he wants. And he drank that Coca-Cola and got better.
That's
Instantly
too funny.
Got better.
That's too funny. You hear so many stories. Yeah, that's so funny.
I know. And Coke does not have all that good reputation.
No, but it was something he wanted. He was ready. Oh,
my
gosh, Mary, I love you,
prayed.
And you're amazing. And we're at the end of the show right now, so I just want to, you're amazing.
Okay.
And to everybody out there, we'll never forget 9/11, and God bless you, and the lives it's touched and the victims and the families. You all
and
are heroes.
And remember, the word victim is not a very friendly word. Those people who sacrificed their lives that we
right.
would have what we have now.
They're heroes.
Bless them and bless our world and bless everything that is positive that we have.
Thank you very much. It's a beautiful, it's well said. To everybody
okay.
out there, I wish you peace.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.